Welcome to Orange Country.
Hi.
Hi.
So we left a cliffhanger the last time that we were together, and I am so glad that, you know, hopefully everyone that listened to that episode is like, oh my God, I can't wait to hear about the new season of Orange County that is currently being filmed, and they're not here today. I guess they don't want me on it, but what has been happening? I know you can't talk much, but I have seen on social media that Jesus Jugs is back in the house.
Amen.
I'm sure she loves to be called that.
Hallelujah.
Alexis Bellino. Is that her name now? Mm-hmm. Bellino? Or is it Jansen?
anyway, honestly, it might be by now.
I'm sorry, but we have got to discuss the fact that he is dating her.
I know.
And y'all are filming with them. And Shannon is on the show.
It's happening.
Anybody who's listening to this, I'm not even going to try to explain. If you don't know the show, this might not be the episode for you, because I don't want to go into the details of why this is so nuts.
It is insane.
But I've never seen this happen on the show.
Well, me neither, and certainly not. I have a front row seat to it. And like, to be honest, like I can't talk about it really, you know,
yeah,
so it's hard. But what I can say is, honestly, to anyone who does care about this and has been like in shock about this, I have been in shock about this too and couldn't believe it. And like, so even for me, because I will say we did have now at this point our first all cast event.
And Shannon was there.
And they were in, you know, Alexis, the same proximity to each other.
What about,
yes.
Was John there?
And no.
Y'all, this is some Vanderpump Rules level shit. I'm telling you what is happening, where I'll quickly explain from the point, because I can say it because I don't know what's going on. So I can say what I know from social media, is that Shannon Bedore has been in a relationship with a man on the show for a couple of seasons.
Almost 5 years they were together.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I did not know that. The time flies on these shows.
I know, because they got together right before me and Travis.
Wow. Uh-huh. Okay, so she's been with this man. They broke up on the show. They had a very tough relationship publicly. Mm-hmm. He supposedly hated anything about his life being talked about. He hated being on the show. And now he's dating a former housewife that used to be on the show. And so that's news. And she was married when she was on the show. She's divorced. She's now dating this man who said he hated the whole operation.
Limelight, all of it. Yeah.
And now they've brought her back to the show. So she's on the show with Shannon, and this man who is now has jumped from one housewife to another.
Housewife hopper.
And they have to all film together.
Yes.
What is, wait, have you, just tell me this. Have you seen Shannon and John interact?
No.
Okay.
But I have seen Shannon and Alexis interact.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I was just like everybody out there. Like, I couldn't believe this was happening. And I couldn't believe that I was going to get to see it in person.
It also feels very new. Meaning it feels like everything just happened.
Yeah. You mean like fresh, where I know, because when Shannon had gotten, you know,
on y'all's reunion,
she was still with
John. That wasn't that long ago.
No, it was like 4 months ago. So I mean, this is,
so it's not like she's had years to get over this and now she has to see the new love interest.
I mean,
was she on the show?
I want to say so many things, but I can't say anything. And it's
was she on the show with Alexis before? Were they both on the show at the same time?
I believe they, I want to say yes.
Okay.
I want to say yes, but honestly, I can't.
Because Alexis was really early. But so is Shannon.
Yeah. I want to say yes, but maybe Shannon replaced Alexis. I'm not sure. We'd have to go back.
Ooh,
I'm actually
that
surprised that you don't know that.
Well, you know,
but there has been history though, too, because you remember, this is something that I had forgotten. There was the whole lawsuit with the Bellinos.
What was that?
The lawsuit that was filed against Tamra and Shannon from Jim Bellino because of something that they had said publicly about him.
The ex-husband.
Yes. So there's already a history, even though they were divorced already, that's still her ex-husband, and that's still something that impacted Shannon negatively. But
I think I have used up so much of my brain space with Housewives knowledge that some of the old memories have had to be moved out.
Well, they just simply have to, for new memories, right? Because there's so much. Because isn't it kind of seriously so interesting and honestly impressive how where the Housewives started and what a phenomenon and empire it is now? Like, even, you know what? There has been a shift since BravoCon.
Yes, since absolutely.
Since BravoCon, it's like a freaking thing.
Well,
now.
Salt Lake City. Really, this season.
And they really did us. They helped us. Jen Shaw, thank you.
I think every time one of these Housewives implodes, it just adds to everyone's bottom line. But
really?
But I used to feel like when people would say, because people love to be uppity about it and mm-hmm. say to me, like, I don't watch that show. I'm like, what? Look, here's the thing. It is entertaining.
Probably the same people that didn't vote for Margot Robbie for Barbie.
The exact mm-hmm. same people, thank you, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous.
Yes.
No, but really, I think people, it is for entertainment. And also, people that sign up for these shows, you included, mm-hmm. know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so when people are like, I mean, those women, I can't believe the way they get exploited. And you know what? There is a level of that. And I know that right now our dear friend Leah is having some sort of, public issues or publicly saying that she Speaking was encouraged to drink.
It,
and
yeah.
I know, and look, that, I believe her. I believe that is her experience. I don't think you have had that same experience.
That's the thing. I'm not here to discredit anyone's experience,
right.
but I can only speak to my own.
Right.
And I don't share that same experience. With that said, most franchises have also different production companies.
Right.
And they do things completely differently. And I've had a
That's
very positive experience.
People do not understand that.
Yeah.
They
it's
also,
still mentally exhausting and it's hard. And sometimes, you have to set boundaries or push back. But like, I have never felt taken advantage of,
Right. Well, you've also seen it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
And as some other things that you've been able to do and pursue and say, how do I turn this into something? This is my job. I've got kids to raise.
Right. And if we're being completely honest and transparent, for me personally, the show has actually been very therapeutic and cathartic for me.
Yeah.
As somebody who was going through so much emotionally through, the 6 years that I was on were like transformative years for me. And being able to having somebody sit me down in a chair for 5 hours and ask me all of these questions that I never even would have thought about myself, that I constantly tried to avoid and push out, and just having to answer them and get it out allowed me to clear out, process, and understand a lot about what my own situations.
Yeah.
And has allowed me to find I found a lot of personal growth from this show.
Yeah.
So although it's still hard and, I complain about it a lot because it's also like a lot of work and it's mentally exhausting, whatever. It's in a lot of ways, it's been very good to me.
So wait, are you currently filming your 7th season?
I am. This is my 6th season.
6th season.
Yes. I'm currently filming. It's been, 6 years.
Speaking of how time flies on these shows, I mean, I remember when you came on, I just cannot believe that this is your 6th season.
I can't believe you still feel here.
Very new to me.
Yeah, that's because every year I feel like I'm still just trying to start.
Well, I think that, I was thinking about Dolores Catania, who's on New Jersey.
Yes.
I can't say New Jersey for some reason today.
Jersey.
But she never had a giant splash.
Right, she's just steady.
She's just been steady.
Yeah.
And people like her.
Because you need steady, likable people.
Right.
Because they're like the glue that fuses together all the poles, right?
That's right, that's right.
So you need pole people who are usually very vocal, feisty, some of them are a little batshit. Those people, some of them do have longevity, so I'm not saying it's like one and done, but some of them are one and dones.
I feel like it's because those people, a lot of times you just feel like they came on hoping to just get famous or
they're trying too hard.
Yeah, it's you can certainly feel the people that are like,
they just drop their pants immediately, and then there's nothing left.
Right,
you know, that's exactly the problem. They don't understand that it's a marathon, not a sprint.
A few years ago, who just came on and just tried Noella. To, yes,
yeah, it was a lot too much too soon.
You got to let people sort of take it in.
Let us warm up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, there's a list, you have it over there too, mm-hmm. of, I guess the Daily Beast did the 11 best housewife seasons of all time. Since you are not as versed with all the other franchises and honestly, even your own, it's quite embarrassing.
It is super.
I mean, I started doing this podcast because I thought we were going to talk about the housewives, and all I've done is educate you. But
yeah, I really appreciate it. It's been very helpful for me, though.
Since you have the links, yes, I would like to speak on some of these.
Okay.
So let's just do the top five.
Okay.
So it says number five is Atlanta season 6. I do not currently watch Atlanta, but I did watch it during season 6. So what is it? What's the synopsis over there?
So first of all, this was 2013, 2014. The Lion, the Witch, and the White Refrigerator.
Oh my God.
Do you remember this? RHOA season 6 is probably the most quotable season of the entire franchise.
Yep.
The last gasp of peak Nene. Oh, so this is the season, Nene's last season.
Okay.
Right? Okay, I'm getting
Surely, I think she came back.
The season is absolutely hilarious and sees Kenya grab the reins of the franchise with a masterful villain performance.
Yeah.
It all comes to a head at the pillow talk fight where Nene and Kenya's friendship irreparably cracks in a night so explosive, even Candy threatens to drag Cynthia's sister. Every peach holder holds her own in this season. Cynthia enters her iconic messy era as she gets closer to Kenya, while a post-divorce Portia grows into the housewife who would charm and terrorize the ladies for years to come. Damn, that sounds like a
lot. I gotta say, I don't agree with this. I like that season. What I do agree with is it has the most memeable moment, the most quotable moment of Atlanta probably in history. Although there's a few. I mean, "Close Your Legs to Married Men" is Nene's famous line to Kim Zolciak, but that was not from this season, which is one of the funniest lines I've ever heard and still say. But there is a moment.
It's amazing how many friends I have and don't know about because they quote that from that season.
Oh,
Noteworthy to you.
Is that Nene?
Yes.
No, I thought the White Refrigerator was the moment. Have you ever seen that online where she goes to Kenya's temporary condo?
Oh, and she doesn't like that there's a white refrigerator.
She says, white refrigerator? Put your shoes on. Let's go find you a home.
Oh my God. I have to say I love Nene.
Oh,
her one-liners are incredible.
Nene is the most entertaining.
She is so funny.
You really miss her. Portia's great too. And
Portia is great.
I really think Portia's probably, as far as humor, mm-hmm. my favorite of all the housewives. I think she is so funny. And but yeah, that season, I do remember the pillow talk. Okay, what's number four?
Number four, Salt Lake City season 4.
That's the current season that just happened.
That just aired.
Oh, boy.
Well, I know
I can't believe this isn't
tea.
Higher. I can't believe this isn't number one or number two.
This one's tough, honestly, too, because it really is. It is a hard thing because just being a housewife and watching like how popular and the evolution of these people who make like the Instagram accounts and the blogs and stuff around it. And like those accounts sometimes are more popular than we even are, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like they have a lot of control, but it is a tough thing because most of those sites are just like crapping on all of us, right?
Right.
And it's like, we get it. Like, it's part of it. Like, it doesn't bother me because it's a part of it. And as long as people are talking, that's great. But then to think that that person
was
who was
show.
Behind that now comes on the show, that really does feel like a huge betrayal.
Betrayal, it is. And I think the reason as a viewer it was so fascinating was because it really showed how culturally people want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman, I think usually the producers, as they're vetting people, they can smell desperation. this particular time, they missed it because
they've missed it a few times.
But thank goodness they missed it because she wouldn't have been on the show. And yeah. and she created so much chaos mm-hmm. when it was revealed that Monica had been basically stalking these women mm-hmm. and terrorizing them online mm-hmm. and then ends up on the show. And then all the information comes out, which we still don't really know how it came out. I mean, it feels, you know, they're pointing to the hairdresser and all these things. And that's probably true. But I mean, where did the hairdresser come from? This feels a little manipulated. Like, hey, Heather, go talk to this person.
Well, I guarantee that there's people who know. It's not just like a well-kept secret. There's probably a lot of people who know that she was behind it. And then what happens is the other people who don't get on the show
right.
now get jealous that she's on the show. So they start DMing.
Wow.
The housewives, right?
Very
and I don't know if that's how it happened, but I gear because that's how always it's like. It's not like us usually digging or going out of our way to find information. The information comes to us. I don't even think people do give me information because I don't. I just genuinely don't look a
right,
lot of the time.
Right.
But if you are looking, it's hand delivered right to you.
Can I just say to everyone listening, or if there's a snippet of this, I have to back you up on what you just said, because if I didn't know you and I was watching this mm-hmm. and you said, I don't look, I would be like, bullshit, but I know you don't look. I know from our friendship beyond sitting here. Mm-hmm. And I find that very interesting that you're evolved enough to go, that's not good for me. It also doesn't help me on the show. It can hinder you.
I mean, I will be honest though, if I did see something in my inbox, I would open it. I mean, I'm not saying I'm
totally,
but like I've just never actually seen something even in there that right. was a thing that even to, so like, it's not like I'm like so super pious, but like, yeah, I don't ever go out of my way. I'll never research
but
anything.
But you really don't know
and
a lot about this
and
stuff.
And I wouldn't use it.
Right.
I can tell you that.
Well,
like,
what happened on this show, did you watch the Salt Lake City season this season?
No.
Okay. So beyond just.
But I did see those women at BravoCon and this had already happened and I didn't know, but they were pissed.
Oh yeah. They legitimately.
Because that was right when I guess it all had come out.
There's
and they
something,
just found, they wouldn't even go near that girl.
There's something so even poetic justice, or I don't even know if that's the word, something that just really adds to the entertainment value is that this girl, Monica, is so gorgeous. I know that sounds silly, but she just looks like a TV villain. She is so stunning. And that sitting there watching her on the reunion just get hammered by these people. And she, you know, I think she handled it horribly. She never really apologized. Even Andy at one point said, is there anything else you would say? After all this is, I'm going to make sure that when you leave here today, you feel like you had the chance to say everything you wanted to say. Do you have anything else to say? And she said, no. I mean, no apology. I felt like
She's still not. I mean, I've seen now on Instagram, I was curious about that because I'm seeing her go on Instagram saying, oh my God, you guys are starting a squad and an uprising because she got released, right? So they're like, okay, you can't be on the show anymore.
Oh, right. Released from
so
the
she
show.
She got released from the show. Yeah. And so now she's on Instagram saying how she's receiving so much support because everybody loves her. But like, is that true? Or do they just love the messiness of
it? It's definitely the messiness. She got really lifted up by, you know, all these social media accounts will sort of give power to just how entertaining you are.
Right. But do we also understand that? And here's the thing that a lot of these housewives lose sight of.
Yeah.
There is, the social media presence and the social media fans and the super fans, but then there's just like the regular ass people
right.
who are watching it. Those are my people.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, so I might
those
not
are
be
the,
like
also,
the social media
those
sensation.
Are Heather Gay's people.
Right. We're like here for like the real moms and the moms at home
but
doing
was,
the laundry, watching the show, not out there slinging shit on the internet.
And
you can only
do that so long. And I think that it's probably good that she's not going to be on the show again, but for now, mm-hmm. as she said, she wasn't even on pause. She was told baby got put in the corner for a minute.
Mm.
Anyway, with that said, what was so entertaining, it brought out the worst in everyone. And it was, she ended up getting to sit right by Andy.
Oh,
first,
yeah.
First season.
But that is, like, that's a thing. See, it caters to the ego. So, like, this totally. Girl's ego, she thinks that, no, because this is what they do. They did this with Bronwyn, too.
Yeah.
Like, Bronwyn thought that she was a star, and she was the star of the franchise. And so, and then she was threatening to not come to the reunion. So they're like, you know what we'll do? We'll show you. You are the most important. Come, sit down next to Andy. Then they feel empowered. So then they really just say whatever. They don't even care if it's at their own expense. They're just like, I'm here to perform. I'm going to drop my pants because I am the star. I'm next to Andy. And then right when the reunion's over, they say, thank you very much. Here's the door.
Right, which is what they did
they
to
They used her. You and, know, and it's like when you used us to get this, now you got you used what, and showed the door.
You know what she did on the reunion that was insane to me? And by the way, I want to backtrack and say, I'm not saying that physical beauty makes any difference as far as like, likeability.
Well, especially when, like, let's be honest, most of the women on all of these franchises are very beautiful.
Right. So the reason I brought that up particularly was because I look back on shows like that were sort of the equivalent of these shows, except they weren't like soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like on Dynasty, Joan Collins was this just stunning woman, but she was mm-hmm. horrible. But because she was so beautiful, there was something about that that just made it like, oh, she always wins.
Yeah.
And there was something about Monica, her physical beauty
that like added,
that
to,
added
it,
to it because she's sitting there like, you don't look like this, you know? and I just found that entertaining. But one thing she did on the reunion that makes me wonder if she ever will be back, and I thought it was a misstep on her part. She claims that she told producers about her being behind.
I read something about that.
She said that on that. She said, I told the producers in my first interview about this, and Andy clearly did not agree with that statement. And mm-hmm. he said, no, if you had mentioned it, you wouldn't have been on the show. And she goes, well, okay. Basically saying, I did say it. I don't believe it. I don't know why. I just don't. I felt like I thought it was a way for her to really just throw another curveball.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think they would have invited that in. I don't know.
This is what I can say about that. I can see a world in which just knowing the preliminary phone calls, it's like, first of all, they're calling 50 million people, you know what I mean? And it's like, I can see a world in which the first phone call that she got, she was this fun personality. She was saying all this like wild stuff. And the person on the other end of the phone is like, oh, she seems great. She seems great. And maybe at some point she was like, oh, you know, and actually I help my friend. I've always been a fan of the show. I help my friends. They run a website on Instagram that's about housewife stuff, but it was like just a one-off and a throwaway.
Right.
And I could see
well,
a world
she did
in which
have
she
inside
said
information
it.
Because she was working with Jen Shah, which is what made her
that's
so valuable.
What probably, so like what I'm saying is in that whole, let's say that conversation was 45 minutes, that maybe that initial producer or casting producer heard all of this stuff about the Jen Shah, and that really wanted them to be like, oh, we got to get this girl to the next step.
We
even hear that.
We can't
you know
have
what
Jen
I mean?
Shah anymore, so we got to have
right, this next. Is interesting. We like her. Let's bring her in. And like maybe she did say, but that certainly wasn't. I can't see a world in which a producer really heard that, processed that, and made a decision to push her through based off of that, you know? So like even if she did, it's very clear that that was just missed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I definitely don't think it was intentional.
No, because it's the same thing that happened to Heather with the Nicole James thing and the Terry thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
It's just sometimes things slip through the cracks.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
You know, yeah. And then it is a great moment because it's in shape. But like also the stuff that slips through the cracks really sucks for us as cast members because in order for this to work and this relationship to work and us to continue to be able to produce these shows for everybody, there has to be some level of trust between us and our employer.
Makers of the show.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's where I think, but that's where what they did by releasing her, that shows, okay, we messed up. We're sorry, but we do respect you. So we're going to make this right. And we're not going to let this happen again going forward.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So look, nobody's perfect, but there was action taken because otherwise that cast, I could see them saying, no, we're going to band together and no more, you know, because you have to have some level of protection.
I think if any of the casts could band together, it's kind of amazing what the power.
Yes. Some of these. Now, I mean, I do agree with that.
With that said about Salt Lake City, I still believe, so that was number four, that the current season, I believe Salt Lake City season four should have been higher on this list. Number three is New York season three. I definitely watched them, but I don't know what was it?
Is this the most influential season in Housewife history? It just might be. Roni season three set the blueprint as former besties Jill and Bethany suffered a brutal falling out. Yeah. The entire cast forced to pick a side. I watched this one. Yeah. This one was good.
It was.
As Alex was great TV, man. As Alex finally found her voice and her husband and her hives. Yeah. And Luann stepped into her full glory. The season cemented the Roni OGs as icons of the craft, from Ramona's bug-eyed cat walk to Alex delivering the message from Jill being in high school while we're in Brooklyn trying to survive in this economy to Luann's singing debut. That really did have a lot. The season is packed with great interpersonal drama and group dynamics. It's the end of Bethany's first arc and her last likable season and the beginning of Sonia's scintillating run, making for one of the strongest casts ever. Of course, what makes season three so iconic is the scary island trip where Kelly suffers a mental breakdown with Beth when Bethany gifts her skinny girl merch ahead of her time. She was. Every episode of the season packs a formidable punch, and it was the first Housewives season ever to get a three-part reunion making history.
Wow.
And the choice quote is, "I don't like you, I don't trust you, and I think you're a snake, Bethany Frankel." That was a phenomenal season.
That's a lot of stuff.
That was a lot. That scary island was it's the nuts. She's like, "Go to bed! Go to bed! Go to bed!"
Well, go to bed. Go to bed. And she's eating the jelly beans and... She's still, you know, I just watched.
I just met Kelly Ben-Simon in New York for BravoCon. She's lovely.
Well, she came beautiful. Back on the girls trip.
The girls trip. Yeah.
And I have to say, she started to lean that way again.
A little cray cray?
She did get a little, like she started to sort of show that's there. And maybe that's just when cameras are on her. Because I know even the, you know, Sonia and all the girls talk about her separately and they're like, she's not like that. Like Scary Island was a one-off. But then she starts being a little crazy and they're like, well, maybe it wasn't. But with that said—
Maybe it's when she travels.
Maybe it is. Mm. I don't know. I mean, that season, Scary Island— God, it was so amazing.
It was just so amazing.
That was really a sad season too, because you really did get to see the implosion of a friendship that you would never have imagined going sideways. It still bugs me that those two women are not friends. They did, Bethany did a podcast.
Meaning Bethany
and Jill.
And Jill's Aaron.
And I feel like Jill through the years, personally.
That was sad because Bethany started, like she was literally like sleeping on Jill's couch when she started. Right?
And I feel like there was a true—
There was a true friendship.
And a true turning of not just Bethany, but she was able, because she was so influential, she was able to sort of turn the Bravoverse against Jill and convince everyone that Jill was just, you know, hungry for fame and always wanting to do it. And maybe she did all those things, but I always liked
Jill. At
the same
time, you're on the show too.
Exactly. And I just always felt like Jill has for years, I mean, even Andy, a couple of times I've seen him take swipes at Jill and I've just thought, man, it just feels like, you know, people sort of always throw her under the bus about her being fame hungry. I can't quote exactly, but I just know that's sort of the theme of like, you're desperate to film. You wanted to be on the show. You did this behind people's backs. I remember the one thing in particular.
The
someone,
press stuff I remember was a bit, that was like the first time that you started to see that the women were trying to manipulate behind the scenes by contacting the press.
That's right.
That part of it I thought was very interesting.
And she may have been doing that, but I do think she's paid
the price.
I think
they were all doing it.
And she's taken a lot of hits through the years, and I've always liked Jill.
To me, Jill Zarin always just seemed very authentic.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I know so many Jill Zarins from home and I love them all. And like sometimes they put their foot in their mouth, sometimes they do the wrong thing. But for the most part, I've always found that type of personality to be well-intended,
yeah,
you know, and not, you know, but they are who they are. And sometimes it's not, you know, they're a little off base maybe here or there, but like not malicious. Like I never thought she was ever trying to like hurt Bethany truly. I don't either.
But I do think Bethany came for her.
Oh yeah.
And but she did have a podcast. Bethany has a really successful, popular podcast. I've only listened to that one episode, but she had Jill on it recently.
Yeah, I saw a thing where they, and I saw a photo shoot, I think in front of a tree.
It was hard to listen to though, because it was a lot of recounting what happened and Jill continuing to sort of, like Bethany would go, well, that happened because you did this and you did this. And I personally thought Jill handled it very well. And sometimes she would be like, well, you know what? Maybe I did do that. And it's not what I meant.
She would accept responsibility. She would apologize.
There were so many times I thought, boy, I would be pushed to the point of being defensive at this point. And Jill wasn't. I think Bethany is, from just a viewer who's watched her forever, she's very hard to like now. It feels pointed and edgy. And
Jill now?
No, Bethany.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, God, I love Bethany. I loved what happened for her on the show. I just thought it was so cool to watch someone go.
Yeah, it was cool to watch somebody make it. Really make it. And
to have just feel like she's just now bulldozing over everything. It just, and maybe.
Well, I think it's the approach. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, I think that maybe if somebody could have got it done, you know, all that stuff, I wouldn't have counted her out. Like I thought she had a good shot.
Yeah.
But I think that the approach was not, I think maybe what happens is we need the girl that's still like pre-skinny girl Margarita to get in there and scrap. And now she's on the other end of it. And I think when you're at the top of the mountain for so long, you're a bit disconnected.
Totally.
And so then you're approaching things from the top of the mountain perspective. And that's
people
just
aren't relatable.
Not,
it's not relatable.
You need to climb the mountain to get the job done. You know, you need to approach it from a different perspective, a different point of view. And I just no longer think that she is that person.
And she went through some horrible stuff. I mean, the divorce and her. It's just,
oh yeah.
You know, so there were things.
My heart went out to her
along
for all of that.
It seemed,
yeah.
Okay, that was season three. Our number three. Number two.
I loved actually her spinoff with Jason.
Oh yeah.
I watched that whole thing. Yeah, I loved that.
Me too.
I actually thought I loved them together.
I know.
I was shocked to see how bad
it got. It's one thing to get a divorce. It's another for it to last a decade.
Crash and burn.
And just, I mean, like.
Fire and fury. Yeah. I mean, that was hard to watch.
It's hard to even imagine him the way he's sort of been portrayed. You know, like that it just turned into a total money grab. And because he just did not come across like that.
Not at all.
At all.
And his parents seemed so nice.
I know.
That was sweet.
That's really, okay.
It is
the number two best housewife season of all time is OC, season 11.
2 years before I was on, but still. I do think, I'll be honest, it's not on this list, but I do think this current season that we're filming has a lot of potential to be on.
Well, it's already set up, knowing that Alexis is in there with John. There's already
phenomenal.
It's set. I can't wait.
It's phenomenal.
I'm so happy.
I know.
I'm so congrats.
Thank you. I know. It's an honor. I'll accept the award in advance of the season because it's that good.
Okay. So what was OC season 11? What was going on?
Okay. So it was in 2016. While RHOC season 10 saw the cancer scam come to a head, season 11 is the dark and twisted hangover that manages to reach new heights. The addition of Kelly Dodd sparks an unhinged descent into madness for Heather, her low base bullshit causing Mrs. DeBro to short circuit. Love that. The entire 1970s party where Shannon and Kelly impersonate owls while yelling at each other is bliss, and it leads to a hilarious one-on-one where Shannon says, "You told my friend she was ugly," and Kelly immediately responds, "She is ugly."
Yeah.
But what really makes this season is the cash trip to Ireland, the best trip in housewife history. While the women initially find peace with Vicky, a midnight meltdown filmed by, I don't know this word, because it's a head, if they're describing Heather, so they have to use a fucking SAT word. Producurial genius Heather leads to a bus ride of pure chaos. The sheer rush of Tamara screaming, fuck you, 2 inches from Vicky's face before Heather transforms into Coraline's other mother to verbally assault Kelly. And Kelly alleges Shannon's husband abuses her is just riveting TV.
Yeah.
Don't ever let people tell you housewife shows need to be lighter when this fascinating darkness exists. Choice quote, I was just asked to leave a department store. I'm in the bathroom, and this is what I had on the door. Bang, bang, bang. Is there an American lady in there? Gasp. Heather Dubrow.
What?
Oh, so Heather was banging on the door outside asking if there was an American woman in the bathroom, I guess. This is in Ireland.
Okay. Why?
I don't really get that.
Okay.
But I do get the fact that, that Ireland trip was wild.
So you watched this?
I did watch this.
Did you watch it then or have you watched it since?
No, I watched it then.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the funny—
And then the next season, because this is season 11, the next season is 12, that's when Peggy Sherline joined the cast. Uh-huh. And that season, I remember watching it as like a mom at home and just being like, meh. It just lost something because this one was so good.
Did Kelly say something about Peggy's name?
She made a comment that was definitely...
Like that, because Peggy was Miss like USA or was she, was that Peggy?
I think, well, she does seem like she would be a pageant queen. That's when I stopped watching because it wasn't that.
Well, we won't go off because we're not even talking about that, that season. But what I will say about the darkness they talk about, you know, the show was really dark. What I find funny is that it was metaphorically dark, but all the stuff that happened was in the dark. They were on that dark bus and there's all that screaming.
The bus cameras are always the best because we don't really feel like we're being.
Oh, really?
We don't feel like they're just on there.
I was wondering why everything goes so crazy on the buses.
Because the cameras are just on there. So
there's not a cameraman in there with you.
Not usually, no.
Yeah.
Not usually. And that's why you just feel more comfortable. And then you'll say something or you'll be whispering something and someone will hear it. And then it just happens. You just feel more comfortable to like let it all out when there's not the big camera crew and things around, you know? So you just are more, it's just more natural setting. And you're exhausted from everything you've done.
Whatever that just happened. And probably drunk. I mean, honestly, to some degree. That is really an interesting behind the scenes point. Mm-hmm. Something I never would have thought of is why is everything so nuts on the buses? And it's because you don't feel the presence of the camera people. I mean, I'm honestly surprised that I like that season and there a lot did happen. I'm surprised it's that high up for me personally.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because it is the end.
Because the cancer scam one, I think
that one
was phenomenal.
Feels nuts.
Who does that?
I mean, he said he had cancer.
Yeah.
It's just, and also he used to talk about the size of his dick. There were so many things that were so weird about that dude.
Wait, he would do those weird affirmations.
What were they?
Like he would just like, he'd say every day that he had like a daily affirmation and it would be like something really beautiful and nice. And he would say that he would do them every day. And then he would tell Vicky the affirmation every day. And I'm like, that sounds like a load of bullshit.
Well, he just came across as so
full of shit.
And it was not good. Okay. And then.
Okay.
Number one.
Moving on. Number one. New York City girls. They really bring it.
I mean, number three and number one. New York.
They really. Yeah. But I think they kind of deserve it. Season 10. This was in 2018. The beauty of long form television is that we get fascinating payoffs to years old arcs.
Yep.
No season better represents that than Roni's season 10 as Bethany and Carol suffer a vicious falling out. Oh, yeah. Remember Bethany and Carol demise?
This still really bothers me.
Yeah, this one was that was tough. Bethany fully inhabits the Jill role she once fell victim to.
Yeah.
The left turn from seasons past leads to a nuanced, explosive season definitive of the Roni women. It's the season that birthed the Countess Cabaret and where Dorinda's deep-rooted grief becomes impossible to ignore. The cast's long-term history makes for a historic season as Bethany and Ramona's ill-fated Brooklyn Bridge fight circles back to prove prophetic once again. Nothing sums up the magic of old Roni quite like Ramona eviscerating Bethany over the phone while her dog Coco waddles dangerously in the street. No franchise has come close to the mix of dark comedy that was this cast's bread and butter. The Cartagena?
Cartagena?
Thank you.
Okay.
Cartagena.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Colombia.
Oh, okay. Colombia. The Cartagena trip cements what's already a standout season as an all-timer, seeing the chaos of both Bethany and Carol, as well as Luann and Dorinda, suffering friendship-ending fights at the same dinner. Oh, yeah. At a boat ride that almost kills them and a bloodbath reunion.
Oh, the boat ride.
And you'll have wall-to-wall perfection.
This season still kind of haunts me because I still do not understand why Carol became such a target of Bethany. I mean,
I liked Carol.
Me too. And yeah. Honestly, another example of Bethany's
and I liked
influence.
Her apartment.
You know who, me too. Mm-hmm. You know who also, again, seems to not like Carol was Andy. And it really always kept, I was like, what did she do that was so wrong? Maybe there were things we didn't see.
Oh, I mean, for sure.
But I was just, I always feel like, I always get a vibe from Andy on the reunions or on his show that I agree with. I'm always like, oh yeah, I can tell he really likes her. And, mm-hmm. and you know, and he did not like Carol.
You can tell when he doesn't like people.
But
too.
I couldn't figure out why. I never could get it with Carol. She just seemed honestly a bit passive for her to get so much heat.
The one thing that I can say, because I can speak to like the, there's like the friendships, right? And then there's like the job of it. And the one thing that I can definitely say is I can maybe see a world in which, you know, now Bethany and all these other women, they're working hard in there. They're and they've been doing it for a while, right? And then somebody like a Carol comes along and Carol was like cool.
Yeah.
And like, you know, likable. And like she had a different style and she was like more chill about things and like above it, you know?
Yeah.
But like the job's the job. And so sometimes when people come in and they get like a free pass because they're just like cool
yeah.
and they can kind of coast through it, but then everybody else has to work harder. So I don't know if like someone like that I could find just like naturally irritating to the other women in the group because it's like, get in there and get your hands dirty a little bit.
I just think when you start looking at what happened with Jill Zarin and then you look at what happens with Carol, who's the common denominator? Bethany.
Yeah.
And it was two people that maybe they just were easy targets. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like she just took them out. And both sort
of. Well, wasn't it though? What happened to you? Because it was, wasn't it Aviva and Carol who were going at it for a while?
But nobody really, the strength came in being friends with Bethany. You know, like she had this friendship with Bethany, which meant she was sort of invincible.
Right, and they were friends.
Oh, best
what
friends.
What happened? I don't even remember happened in their friendship.
It was a very slight, weird turn where it started to be like Bethany was sort of questioning or taunting Carol for, there was a guy that Bethany was set up with.
The young guy?
Yes.
Yes, the chef. He was a chef,
but
maybe?
Yeah, he was.
Uh-huh.
But it felt like they all sort of went in on her over this relationship. And like, it was someone connected to Luann through her daughter or something, or son. I can't remember. She had a friendship with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then
she brought him to that party.
Bethany
right?
was supposedly either set up with him or someone else. And she wanted to make sure Carol knew that originally it may not have been that guy, but it was all related.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt so mean. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, again, it's like, Bethany, you have the power. You are the you're the one.
Right.
On this show, you're the reason people
you're
are watching.
Center apple.
And instead of, yeah. And I mean, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
She was so entertaining, so likable. And she really had a life change on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, that's a dreamer.
Yeah.
And so I just, what bothers me is when someone that has that power ends up sort of using it for bad, as opposed to going, let me lift others up. It felt like it was like, let me clear other people out.
Yeah.
And honestly, Nene kind of did that too, I think. I think that was, you know, she had the real factor, the it factor.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway,
it's hard though. I mean, I guess I could just see like, I see how it happens. You know, it's hard not to, once you get up there and you think you're above it all and above everybody, you start to act like
and
that.
And because
I'm sure.
Also everyone around you is telling you that too.
Right. They're all like gassing your head up, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, and then, and honestly, some people come on and they just annoy you.
Right.
And you're just like annoyed by them.
Totally.
And then it comes out. And like, and honestly, some other people are just better at controlling themselves too. So then you look like that person, but then that's crazy and aggressive. But then that other person is like Carol could have been coming at Bethany, just not on camera.
That's true. Or there's something, like, you really nailed it when you said there was something, a coolness about her.
Yeah.
That maybe came off as, I'm a little bit above that all this. Maybe,
well, because I think Bethany was cool.
Yeah.
And like, maybe that was a thing for her with Carol, that like,
I'm the cool one.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm the cool one. Maybe. You can't be cooler than me.
That, I just, yeah. That, who knows? That took such a, God, that was a, that was, it just took a big turn, a 180.
And then Carol, was
sure.
That the last one that she was on? Was that when she was running that marathon? The New York City Marathon? That was like her storyline. And then she just ran right out
she
into
just
the
ran.
Sunset.
She kept running.
Just forever.
Well, I have to just say about this list, I'm glad that there are people out there that make these lists. I do not stop and do this, but I would still like to give my opinion that I'm sorry the fact that Beverly Hills is not in the top five.
Isn't that kind of wild?
For me, there's been a couple of seasons of Beverly Hills, the last couple in particular.
Are so good.
I mean, where I could not wait for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Just the stuff that happened with Erica Jane.
So good.
The current season, the stuff that's going on with Kyle. I mean,
I'm
and then you add the
behind.
Hilton sisters all along with Kim and Kyle all, I mean, sorry. Yeah, Kim and Kyle
uh-huh.
all along. And then you add Kathy to Mick. I mean, to
so
me,
interesting.
That was just fascinating. So we had no intention of just making the entire episode about the Housewives because, you know, that's really what I would talk about all day, every day if I had the opportunity. But thank you for coming along with me. I think we meant for that just to be a side note, but you know, I had a lot to say.
It's all right. You know what? Sometimes you just gotta, go full housewife sandwich.
And let's see what happens.
I love
this
them
season.
All.
I do too. Especially you.
I know. I'm the best.